I'm really conscious today that they're talking about it being 38 degrees or something rather stupid, and according to my watch, it's 33 now. So I don't want to take a really long time today. I want to take some time to reflect on where we're at. We want to do communion together. We've got to commission our new elders and deacons and to acknowledge them. But I thought, let me do all that from here so that we kind of condense our time down a little bit this morning. And that way you get to go home to the air conditioning, to the pool, to the cool, rather than being here for too long this morning. We've been looking at Advent, started last week. And Advent, if you are aware, has four different aspects to it. That of hope, of faith, of joy, and of peace. So last week we looked at hope. And we're talking about the fact that it's really good that there's actually hope for this year. Because let's face it, when we think back to 2020, most of us end up with an experience a little bit like this. I was told last week that I didn't have enough humour in my message, so here we go. And I think that many of us would like to actually consider that. I know my mum said that to me many, many times as a kid growing up, that if I wasn't careful, she'd slap me into next week. Well, I'm actually hoping it would be next year. But my concern is that while we might do that, there's this. And that has me a little bit worried. The truth is, we can get all bent out of shape about the fact that 2020 has been this crazy year, this year that we would rather forget, this year that we really have struggled with it, that nobody saw coming. And yet we can live in hope for next year, which is great. We need to do that. But we also need to be careful that just because it's a new year doesn't mean it's not going to be tough as well. Only looking at the news reports this morning, America registered 250,000 new COVID cases yesterday. This thing isn't over yet. And certainly for us in Australia, we've been blessed that the impact of COVID on Australia has been fairly insignificant on world standards. And we want to say thank you to the Lord for that. That's His blessing over us. We need to acknowledge, as much as we like to diss on our governments, we need to acknowledge that by and large they've done a pretty good job at keeping us safe and insulated from what's happened around the world. But the reality is, this thing ain't over yet. And so 2021 has all the potential, just like 2020, to go off the rails really fast. And to spin off into a ditch and to end up being another year where we look back in the future and go, wow, what on earth happened? Chris sent me a little meme. I didn't use it today, but it was basically said, whoever's supposed to go to Nineveh, just go. Like, you know, if you're the one that God's telling you to do something and you haven't done it yet, can you please just do it? Because it might actually save the rest of us. Who knows? But as we talked about last week, Israel was in a very similar situation 3,500 years ago under King Ahaz, and Isaiah spoke into that situation with the prophecy of Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." That there was going to come a day where the king was going to sit on David's throne, and that was going to be an eternal reign. That there was hope for the future. And that no matter how bad it got, and remember Isaiah goes and talks to Ahaz and tells him, it's going to be up to your neck. Like, this is going to get real bad and there's only going to be a remnant that's left. But there is hope because God has a purpose and a plan. And the same is true for us. You might feel like you're up to your neck or you're up to your nose. You might be using the snorkel and looking for a piece of pipe to extend it just so that you survive 2020. But God says there is hope because He has a purpose and He has a plan and He has something in mind. For Israel, 3,500 years ago, that promise was for the Messiah to come, for Jesus to be born. And so that's the promise of the child that comes in Luke 1, 26 to 38. Now, I can the reason I can take a lot less time this morning is because Evan's already preached half a message for me, which is kind of cool, but that's good. This is the problem you have when you talk to Evan on Monday and tell him all about what you're preaching on Sunday so that he can plan the service around it, and then he goes and pinches half of it, and that's all right. That's good, because it's a reminder for each of us. In Matthew's Gospel, in verses 18 through to 20, to the end of the chapter, in verse 25, 26, we've got that account that Evan read for us of how the angel came to Mary and said to her, "You're going to have a son." And this is the difficulty that Mary finds herself in. The angel comes and says, "You're going to have a son." And she says, "Hang on a sec, how's that going to work? Because I'm not even married yet. I've never been with a man." And the angel says, "Well, don't worry about the details. God's got that under control. What you, the child that you will give birth to is conceived of the Holy Spirit." A similar kind of time, a little bit later, Mary's obviously had a conversation with Joseph, her fiancé, and said, "Hey, Joe, I've got some news. You'll never guess what. I'm pregnant." To which Joseph's going, "Hang on. It ain't me." And he struggles with this whole thing of, hang on, what's going on here? Now, Mary's telling me that this child is of the Holy Spirit, that this is an immaculate conception, that this is God's child. I've heard some excuses and I've heard some stories in my life, but wow, what kind of a fool does she think I am that I'm going to fall for a story like that? And an angel comes to Joseph and says, "Hey, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She's telling you the truth. And here's what I want you to do about it." But the first thing the angel says to Joseph is, "Don't be afraid." But I want to rewind a little bit. Go back into Luke chapter 1, where the story of Zechariah coming into the temple. Zechariah is one of the priests. It's his turn. It's the one and only opportunity he gets to serve in the innermost sanctum of the temple, the Holy of Holies. He has been working his entire life, his entire ministry as a priest, for this day. And he enters into the Holy of Holies, and he's performing his tasks as God has called him to, as he needs to as a priest. And an angel appears to him and says, "Hey, Zechariah, I've got news for you. Guess what? Your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son." And Zechariah laughs and says, "You've got to be kidding. How's that? That's not even possible, because we're old. Like, we're ancient. We are way past this whole childbearing thing. You've got to be kidding." But the first thing the angel says to Zechariah is, "Don't be afraid." There are four times in the narrative stories around the birth of Jesus where the angels come and say specifically to the people they're talking to, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." They say it to Zechariah. They say it to Mary. They say it to Joseph. And then finally, on the night that Jesus is born, the shepherds out on the hillside, the first thing the angel says is, "Don't be afraid. I've come to give you good news." You see, I think that as we stand on the cusp of a new year, as we look back over the wreckage of 2020, and we have this trepidation and this apprehension about what 2021 is going to look like, that's the message that the Christmas story brings to us today, is that message of don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. But why? How is it that we can stand here today and say, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm not going to fear what happens in 2021? You see, in each of these four cases, the reason that the angel says don't be afraid is because God has a plan. God knows what he's doing. God's got this under control. Just as Ahaz was told by Isaiah 1,500 years before this stuff is happening, Ahaz, don't be afraid. This is going to happen, but don't be afraid. God's got a plan. There is a purpose in this. There is something coming. There is hope for the future. The angel says to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, and to the shepherds, don't be afraid because there is hope. I bring you good news of great joy, the angel says to the shepherds. God's got a plan. There is a purpose. There is something we can hold on to. The hope that we have is coming to fruition, and there's something you need to do about it. And that is, you need to trust God in this. For Zechariah, the challenge was to trust God that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a child in her old age. And this was not just any ordinary child, this was going to be the forerunner to the Messiah, John the Baptist. Because he didn't really believe, because he questioned, Zechariah was struck dumb for the next 9 months. And that limitation that was placed on him by the angel was only lifted at that moment when everybody's around him, when they're bringing John to the temple to be dedicated, to be circumcised, and they're saying, oh, we're going to call him Zechariah after his dad. And Zechariah writes down on a piece of paper, his name is John. And at that moment, he was able to speak again. Zechariah had to trust that what God said was true and that it was going to happen. Mary, in all the midst of the crazy that was going on in her life at that moment, to have this news that you are going to be the one who bears the Messiah, her response is, let it be to me as you say. Lord, I'm yours. I trust you that what you have said is going to take place, and I place myself in your hands, and Lord, let it be. Do what you need to do. Joseph is prepared to take Mary as his wife and to trust that God knows what he's doing in this. There's further times where that trust is called upon. They get to Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn, so they're in the stable. Trust God that he knows what he's doing. A little while later, they get news that Herod is actually running around the countryside killing every boy under the age of 2 because he's afraid of Jesus and wants to get rid of him. And the angel comes to Joseph and says, don't be afraid, it's all right, get up, go to Egypt. Huh? What? You want me to go where? Why don't you go to Egypt? I've got a plan. I have this already mapped out. Trust me. And then a few years later, when Herod is dead, another message comes to Joseph. It's okay. You can go home. You can go back. Joseph's going, you sure? Because last time we were up there, that kind of got a bit sporty, right? Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I've got a plan. You see, this is the challenge for us as we embark on 2021. As we draw a line under 2020, and we go, thank you, Lord, for the lessons we've learnt this year. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we've received. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge that it's been, because it's forced us to trust you. And on the basis of that trust, we're stepping into 2021, having no idea what this is going to look like. Chris and I sit in my office with the preaching plan projected up on the whiteboard in there, sitting there 6 months ahead going, okay, so where do we sense God's leading us? What are we going to do? We did that at the beginning of 2020. And then 2019, beginning of 2020. By March, we'd thrown that out the door and just gone, what? We're looking at 2021 going, let's just pencil these things in, shall we? Where's the eraser? Let's not set anything too strictly and too tightly, because we have no idea what 2021 is going to look like. But we do know this. God says to us today, don't be afraid. God says, trust me. I have a purpose. I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. As we said last week, remember, you read the end of the book. God wins. Sin and death and the Satan are defeated. Cast into the lake of everlasting fire. And God recreates heaven and earth for his people. And dwells among his people for eternity. God wins. His plan comes together. Our call is to trust him. He's got this. He knows what he's doing. So this morning, let's take a moment to stop and to thank God for the plan that he has in place. I'm kind of glad that I don't know what 2021 is going to look like. I had an experience about 30 years ago, I guess. It was before my call to ministry and my call to Bible college. I was living at home with mum and dad. I'd moved up from Sydney, and the job that I had fallen through. I was unemployed. And I remember one night sitting on the bonnet of my car out on a vacant block of land, looking at the stars, just going, God, what on earth are you doing? I thought we had a plan here. I thought I knew where we were going. And I had the picture in my mind that I was hurtling down the highway at about 100 k's an hour in the pitch black with just the parking lights on in the car. Like, yeah, you've got about 6 inches worth of view to see that tree that's coming at you, right? And I remember praying and saying to the Lord, God, just give me a flash of high beam. Just a moment. Just a little bit. Just for a second. Just so I get a sense of where we're going and where you're leading me. I don't know that I necessarily got that, but I do know that I got the faith to continue to press on with him and to step out with him, and nearly 30 years later, here we are, right? He knows what he's doing. But I also know that if he had shown me the big picture that night, sitting on the bonnet of my car in the dark, I'd probably still be curled up in the fetal position in the corner, sucking my thumb, going, Because seriously, if we knew everything, that'd just mess us right up, wouldn't it? The psalmist says in 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's not daylight. It's not a searchlight. It's not those massive, great big spotties on the front of Pete's car. It's a lamp to my feet. Okay, we'll argue about the ownership later. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The whole purpose of that is not to show us the big picture, but simply to allow us to see enough to take that next step. We've kind of preached a little bit of Frozen 2 before. You know, there's that scene where Anna is there and she's kind of, you know, trying, just do the next right thing. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path to show us what is the next right thing. We just need to trust him, to step out in faith and to say, Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but I'm going to trust you that in this next thing, you've got this. And in the next thing after that, you've got that. And so I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have faith that as I approach whatever lies before me, you give me the strength You give me the courage. You give me everything that I need in order to deal with that and to address that and to work through that and to be blessed in that and to glorify you. Everything else beyond that is largely irrelevant. So let's take that step of faith today as we step out with him. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you to you for your word. Thank you that when the angels came to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, and to the angels, the first thing they said was, don't be afraid. Father, as we anticipate what 2021 is going to be looking like with all of the unknown and the crazy about that, Lord, that's what we need to hear. Don't be afraid. Because you have that plan in place. You know already what's going on. And you've given us everything we need to step out in faith and take that next step. To do the next right thing. Just to be able to trust you. So Father, would you give us the courage that we need today? Lord, each of us are in different circumstances and different situations and there's different stuff in front of us. Some of it's big and scary, some of it doesn't seem to be quite so, but Lord, for each of us, no matter where we're at, we still need that courage and that faith to take that next step. Lord, would you grow that in us today? That as we continue through today and we start to think about what even tomorrow looks like with work or school or whatever, that you give us the courage just to trust you for tomorrow. And then we'll worry about Tuesday after that. And 2021, well, that's still a whole month away, so yeah, we're not even... We just want to trust you, Lord. Give us the strength and the faith to do that, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Part of the hope that God gives us, John picks up on in his gospel. Let me read to you John chapter 1, just a few little bits and pieces. John starts by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Out of this fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. See, the reason we can hope and the reason that we can have faith and trust him for tomorrow is because of what Jesus has done for us. The fact that 2,000 years ago, the prophecy that Isaiah gave 1,500 years before that to Ahaz came true. A child was born. A son was given. And the government is on his shoulders and his name is Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And because of him, because of his birth, his life, his death and his resurrection. We have hope for the future. We've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have eternal life if we believe in him. We have hope regardless of what happens to us here and now. So as we come this morning, we want to come and celebrate what Jesus has done for us. We want to thank him for his sacrifice. We want to acknowledge that he is our hope, our living hope. And there is no one else that gives us the courage and the strength to step forward into tomorrow than him. As we gather this morning, we also need to be commissioning and acknowledging our church leadership. Last Sunday we had our AGM and we voted in and accepted 4 new elders and 2 new deacons to be part of the team that God is using to lead us and to guide us into the future of the church here. So I'm going to invite them to come out. Now, not all of them are with us today, but that's okay. For those that are here, I'm going to invite you to come out the front so that we can see you, we can acknowledge you. So there's Adele, Amir, Jason Gay, Lindell Brown, Neil Parker, Owen Bonney, Sam Peterson, along with Chris and myself, form the eldership. It's our responsibility before God to seek the spiritual leadership and direction of the church and to facilitate the pastoral care for us as a family. To help us do that, we have a team of deacons, those who serve. Craig Marstella, Evan Taylor, Jason Skinner, Jennifer Parker, Marianne Clayton, and Peter Brown. So if they want to come out as well, those that are here. These guys are responsible for facilitating the various ministries and activities of the church. Together, God's called us to be those that he would use in this place for this time to lead you, us, his people. Take a good look at them. I was going to say we need all the help we can get. Like, you know, let's face it, we've got to pray and ask God's help for these guys, because just look at them. But in being facetious like that, that denigrates them and that actually undermines them. Each one of these people are godly men and women who I'm privileged to call my friends. I'm going to get teary here. Privileged to call my friends, honoured to work alongside. I'm so grateful for the wisdom and the insight, for the passion that God has given these men and women, for the dedication that they have. Most of these guys are really busy anyway. Oh, maybe with the exception of Jason. He just hangs out at school every day. Actually, he's probably the busiest out of all of us. They're all really busy people. Yet they have chosen to accept that call of God on them to commit to a period of service in the life of the church. So today we want to honour you. We want to acknowledge you. We want to thank God for you. We want to recognise the gifts and the abilities and the talents that you have, the way that God is shaping you, the way that God is using you, and the way that he's going to continue to do that in the weeks and the months and hopefully the years ahead as you serve him here. So let's take a moment to pray. I'm going to ask that you as a church might stand as a sign of solidarity, as a sign of commitment, as a sign of connection with these guys. If you want to come and lay hands on them, you can do that. If not, stand there, just, you know, however you want to do that.
Can we do that with social distancing?
Social distancing. Just, okay, just do it from a, you know, God knows. All right. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you that you are the one who builds your church. That you are the one who is growing and maturing, developing and perfecting your bride. That you have in Scripture described us as your people, as your bride, the one you love beyond all things. Father, we thank you today that you have called each of these people to be people who you will use to lead your church, to help in that process of growing and equipping and nurturing and perfecting your bride. Father, I want to thank you for the gifts that you've given each one of them. They're all unique. They're all different. Thank you for the talents that they have. Thank you for the commitment to you that they have. Thank you for the experience and the wisdom and the insight that you have given them. And Father, we pray today that you would use these men and women to faithfully and diligently lead your church, that we as a church in this community might be people who are empowered by God to impact our community. Father, would you bless them? Would you strengthen them? Would you encourage them? Would you give them the faith and the hope that they will need to step out into the things that you're calling them to, not just this year, but into the years ahead? And Father, may you bless us through them as they faithfully serve you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I don't need all of you, so work out amongst yourself. I need five of you, please, to help serve communion this morning. So maybe the deacons want to go, yeah, we'll leave that to the elders. Excellent. And Kira can help too. Excellent. We're going to take a moment just to stop and to thank God for all he has done for us in Christ. That gives us that hope for the future, that gives us the faith we need to step out with him, that to steal from next week and the week beyond, gives us the joy despite our circumstances and a peace in our hearts that he's got this because he knows what he's doing, and that we can read the end of the book and we know that he wins. So as we thank him, we spend time this morning, we're going to wait upon you where you are. Just take the cup. For those who aren't familiar with it, there's a little bit of plastic on top that holds the wafer in. Peel that off. Feel free to eat the wafer when you get it. Just use that as a time to reflect for yourself with the Lord. And then when we're all served, you get to peel the silver bit off, which gets you into the juice inside, and we'll drink that together because we are one in Christ. So I want to invite all of you who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, whose desire it is to follow him, to join with us as we thank him this morning for all that he has done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the babe that was born in a manger that grew up to be the man that hung on the cross. But we thank you more than that, that that's not where the story ends. But he rose again from the dead, conquering death and winning eternal life for all of us who believe in him. Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning for all that you achieved in Christ, the forgiveness of sin and the granting of everlasting life. Father, we thank you that we can appropriate that to ourselves. We can accept that to ourselves through faith in Jesus. Thank you that it's by faith we're saved because of your grace to us. Father, thank you that we don't have to do anything to earn it or deserve it, but rather you give it to us freely because you lavish your love and your grace upon us. So, Father, as we take these simple elements, this bread and this juice, would you help us to remember and to be struck afresh today the significance of what it means for Jesus to have died in our place and to have risen again so that we have eternal life. We thank you and we praise you in his name. Amen. The Apostle Paul recalls for us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you." And likewise, he took a cup, and after he'd blessed it, he said, "This cup represents the new covenant, the new agreement between God and man that's written in my blood. Take it and drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together in remembrance of what God has done for us in Christ. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning in awe and wonder because of what you've done for us. Thank you that you were prepared to leave the glory of heaven. As Paul says, you didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made yourself nothing, emptying yourself of everything and becoming a man. And then when you had become a man, you humbled yourself further and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in your death and your resurrection, you have given us life. And we thank you that you are now risen and seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you have the name that is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord of all creation. And so today, Lord, we worship you and we praise you and we acknowledge you as Lord of lords and King of kings. And we thank you that you have sought to choose us and to bring us and make it possible for us to become the children of God. That all who believe in you, you gave the right to become children of God. We thank you and we praise you for all that you have done, because you are worthy. Amen. As we finish the service this morning, I'm going to ask Evan to come back with the singers and lead us in our final song. Take the opportunity today to reflect further on what God has done for us in Christ.